I hope you've had some good ones. I hope you've had some that you've really wanted to respond positively to, as well as maybe one or two where you've found something else suddenly that you needed to do. We've been thinking over our Christmas services. It might not surprise you to know that this isn't our first Christmas service of the year. We've been thinking a little bit about invitations. If you were here at our Carols by Candlelight on Sunday evening, we were thinking about God's invitation to us at Christmas to receive a gift. To receive the gift of nothing less than his own presence. That's what we're here tonight singing and celebrating about. That God, in the depth of his love for us, comes amongst us in the person of Jesus Christ, empties himself to come. And when we receive Jesus, we receive his gift of life in all its fullness, of his presence, of forgiveness, of hope, of love. Tonight I want to think very briefly with you, you'll be pleased to hear, very briefly, about God's invitation to worship at Christmas and through the year. Our reading that Nick's just read to us says this of the wise men: "We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." I'd like to reflect with you just for a few moments on this word worship, a word that perhaps has fallen out of use a little bit in the English language, a word that means lots of different things perhaps to different people, but is such a rich, powerful word, not just at Christmas, but through the year. A lot of debate amongst theologians about whether, when the wise men came to worship Jesus, whether they realized he was divine, whether they realized he was God. The answer is we don't know. We don't know exactly what they understood about Jesus. That word worship could mean a number of different things. I'm sorry to put you through a little Greek lesson so soon before Christmas, but the word that we've read when we read worship is this Greek word, proskuneo. Proskuneo. It's a word that sometimes is used of the worship of God in the Bible, but other times it's used to pay homage to someone who is important, to show reverence and respect, to revere someone. It has within its background a sense of coming forward and kneeling to kiss the hand of someone you want to pay homage to, someone you want to recognize as an important person. Could be a deity, could be a person. The word worship in our English derivation is derived from worth-ship, giving something or someone their worth. If you're as old as me, or maybe a bit older, when you got married, if you were married, it may be men that you promised to worship your wife. I did to my wife 28 years ago. I'm still trying to work out quite what it means, but I don't think it means that I'm called every morning to prostrate myself on the floor and give homage to her. It's something about giving her her worth. Incidentally, as an aside, I think she promised to obey me, and I'm still trying to work out what on earth she meant by that. Worship is about worth-ship. My English dictionary says that worship is about adoration and devotion. Adoration and devotion. I'd like to sum up worship like this. I think worship is putting someone or something in its place, especially in its exalted place. Giving something or someone a place above yourself in your life. I think worship is a wonderful word. It actually is a word that I think is much about much more than just coming to sing some songs, not much more than just coming to church. Worship is about the orientation of our lives, the direction our lives are facing, the things that we give our lives over to. I like to think of worship as being a little bit trying to establish where true north is in the very core of our being. I wonder whether, if I was to ask you tonight, where does your north point? If your life is a compass, where does north point? What is it in your life that has its highest place? Is it a person? Is it a thing? Is it God? The biblical picture is that you and I were created by God to worship. There's something inherent in our makeup that means that we become more fully the people we were created to be when we worship. We live in a time, in a society, where there are some quite loud secular voices arguing very strongly against religion, and especially against Christianity. And one of the arguments I've heard from time to time from some of these voices is an argument against worship that goes something like this. What sort of deity do you want to worship who insists on you worshiping him? Surely God must be the most insecure person around if he requires you to kneel down every morning and worship him. I want to suggest that those voices have completely misunderstood both the nature and the purpose of worship. You see, worship is not just, as I've said, about kneeling down. It's about the orientation of our lives. Worship is, if you like, simply our response to God's outrageous love. Worship is about turning our lives towards the light and away from the darkness, to use an image from our reading a little earlier. Worship is about becoming who we were meant to be. I say that because it's as we worship God that we actually find our real place in the world, that we find that we're here as purposeful beings. We're not here just by accident. Worship allows us to recognize that we're part of a bigger picture, part of a bigger story, that we're needed, that we're given significance in this world, that we're created for a purpose. And it seems to me that as we learn to worship God, as we learn to orientate our lives towards him, and Christmas is a great time to reflect on this, so we become more fully the human beings God created us to be. The alternative to worshiping God, I think, is that we begin to worship something else. It's inherent. It's built into us. There are those of us that, if we're really honest, have started to worship ourselves. That's another alternative. And the great sadness of people who worship themselves is that they start to lose some of their sense of connectedness with the world around them. They start to lose some of their sense of being part of a bigger story, of being purposeful beings with significance in the bigger story. Some of the saddest and most insecure people I have ever come across are people who worship themselves. Sometimes it's dressed up as worshiping something else. It might be money, or power, influence, image. Increasingly today, celebrities. It might be a car or a house or a postcode you've always wanted. But in the end, it comes down to worship of self. And it's not what we were created for. The worship of self becomes, instead of the orientation of our lives, the disorientation of our lives. And many of the things, some of them that Helen's already mentioned, that we've seen in this last year that have been most painful, most difficult, most hard to comprehend, have been about lives that are disorientated, that aren't focusing in the direction we were created to focus in. One of my favorite prayers of all time is a prayer from St. Augustine, who lived in the 5th and 6th century. And he said this to God: O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. I think Augustine is talking there about worship. He's saying it's when we come to worship God, to put God in his rightful place in our lives, that we begin to have a settled story within ourselves, to know who we are, to celebrate our humanity, to wonder that God invites us to be part of his story. This is good news, I believe, but it's particularly good news at Christmas, because we recognize at Christmas that this heart longing to worship is more than matched by God's longing to come and meet us where we are. Again, from the reading that Nick just read to us, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Former Bishop of Croydon, Bishop Nick Baines, who's now the Bishop of Leeds, used to have a lovely saying that I've often reflected on. He said, "Church is meant to be the place where we find we have been found by God." Church is meant to be the place where we find we have been found by God. My prayer for you and for me this Christmas, as we think about worship, as we go on to worship together in a moment, is that we might find that as we look for some sense of orientation, we find that we've been found by God. All of this, as I said earlier, is simply an invitation. Yes, I think some of those secularists, some of those atheists are right to be wary of any deity, any God who demands worship. But that's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God I worship and I serve. The God I worship, the God I serve, is the God who comes to us in two symbols of enormous vulnerability, the baby and the cross, both of which we're celebrating at this service tonight. And he says, as he always does, this invitation to worship, to find as you do so your true self, who I created you to be, is nothing that I will ever force on you. It's an invitation. It's a gift, like the gift of God's presence. I wonder whether you've got the courage this Christmas to explore this gift of worship. It may mean laying some things down. It may mean not putting yourself at the center of your world anymore. That's quite a challenge. But it may mean that as you put things down, you find you're picking up things that are far more precious. Your life could be changed forever if you turn and start afresh this Christmas to worship the living God. Why? Because he loves you so much. He came to be one of us and gave his life for you. As I finish, one of my favorite carols, which we're not singing at this service, of all time, is this carol written in the 19th century. And I think it sums up something of this response to an invitation to worship. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Saviour's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. It's a lovely little phrase, that. It's in our relationship with God, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, in our worship of him, that our souls find their true worth. And we find that they're worth everything to the God who created us for himself. A thrill of hope, and the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And the response, the only response, is fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born.